And every Monday morning, everybody, Monday, April 17, 2023. It's the Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, and it's brought to you by the Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. It's delivered every Monday through Saturday with one eye open, especially on a Monday morning. This is recorded live to tape, but I would not want to deceive you. This is the seventh time I'm recording the podcast because I haven't liked any of them. Don't question yourself at that early in the morning when you start at 5:30. Welcome to the podcast. If you're first time listeners, good to have you here. My name is Tom Drake, the Guru of the Seas. Why are you called the Guru? What is that about? Because you know what? For almost 30 years, I've been a stand-up comedian on cruise ships all over the world. I have seen everything. I have done everything. And frankly, I know everything. And that's why they call me the Guru. I am joined in this podcast by my producer, my editor, my partner in crime. Yeah, it's a duck. It's a duck. Get over it. I didn't know why. I don't know why, but rich people like the sound of a duck in the morning, so I give them whatever they want. So welcome. It is Meatloaf Monday. If you're a first-time listener, that basically means the stories that I'm covering today aren't that good, but I'll try to make them better than they are, and that's what meatloaf is. Meatloaf is just meat with some spices, and you bake it, you put a lot of ketchup on it. This is one of those podcasts. Get the ketchup ready, and let's leave it at that. Update on the cell phone. The wife lost this. They didn't lose it. It fell out of her pocket in the Orlando airport. I found it, sent it to South Africa, and it's been in South Africa forever in customs. They wouldn't let it into the country. They must, I don't know why. And they sent it back. So now it's in Memphis, Tennessee, sitting there on a shelf. And hopefully sometime this week, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol will clear it. And then I'll get it back and I'll bring it with me. Because we are going on the road. Me and the Drake, we're going on the road starting May 1st. This podcast will be in Mumbai and then Sri Lanka and then it's going to Thailand and it's all over the place. It'll be fun and more interesting. You know, we're growing. This is the most popular $25 podcast on the internet. That's not what we charge you. It's what they're paying me. That's how popular it is. But it is growing organically, very much like mold. And I have a feeling that once I get on the other side of the world and I'm broadcasting from exotic locations, that other people will be interested. And I'm going to have some surprises in there. I'll be talking to some guests. I'm on a world cruise. I'll be talking to some of the guests on the world cruise of Oceania Insignia and possibly maybe grab a couple of officers for short little tidbits. So excited about that. I do have an email address. It's called thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. I'm trying to rush now because I have more important things to do. Who doesn't? thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. I appreciate all the emails. I got an email from my friend Judy. Pictures of sand. I'm thinking, all right, I'm getting old. You know, other guys, they get emails from Ukrainian girls looking for a husband. I get pictures of New Jersey sand. Seems that Judy collects sand. Judy's not alone. I know a lot of people that collect sand, and I've tried to offer them assistance, and I know a couple of psychologists that could work with you. But there was Judy, good-looking sand, babe. And the containers, very nice selection of containers. If you have a comment, a complaint, a story you want me to talk about, something that I should pontificate on, because who doesn't want to pontificate 7 or 8 times on a Monday morning, send it to me at thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. A little bit of a tease coming up. We have some interesting stuff coming up. I'm going to talk about why you should go to the Kiel Canal. I'm going to talk about the Princess Dining 360 that it didn't make sense to me. Now it's starting to make a little sense to me. Also, there's a big shock to you, but in December, the Department of Transportation had a record number of complaints about the airline industry. And if I have time, there's an article in Cruise Fever about what you shouldn't bring on a cruise that I thought everyone should know, but I guess most people don't know, and we're going to get to that. So go ahead. Hey, Drake, do something. I think I've told this story before, but many years ago, I was on a ship called the Norwegian Dream, and it was the Dream Word. And it went into dry dock in Germany, and they cut the ship in half, and they put a new section in. It was 167 feet. They actually added a whole section to the middle of the ship and then put it back together again. And say what you want about the Germans and their Speedos, but they can swing a hammer, and they know what to do with a screwdriver and a drill. They're expert craftsmen. Very difficult job to do, because when you cut a ship in half, literally cut it in half, and then I can't cut the turkey on Thanksgiving. These guys cut it. Well, hold on. These humans, I don't know who was doing it. These humans cut it in half, You see, now that we have to call people humans, it sounds derogatory, doesn't it? I mean, that's a man, right? No, it's a human. Why would you call that? Why wouldn't you call him a man? Because we can't. It offends people. Anyway, these humans in Germany, they cut the ship in half, and they had the section already built, and they slid it in and put it back together again. I used to do a joke about it because it turned out perfectly, except there's one guy walking around with a box of bolts going, you know where these go? Because you know when you assemble something from, like, IKEA, there's always, like, three screws left. You know where the hell they are? Anyway, they cut it in half, and they also cut the funnel. They cut the funnel in half and put a hydraulic lift on the ship's funnel. And we used to go through the keel canal. And the ship was too tall for the keel unless you could flip the funnel and lower the communication mast, which is what we did. We would go through the keel canal. There was one bridge in the keel where they would have to flip the funnel. And I said at the time, there should be like a inflatable Norwegian that comes out of the, you know, like a Sven in the box. What's my point? The keel canal is one of the nicest day trips you'll ever go on, because all the German families that live on the banks of the Kiel Canal, they're out there and they have picnics and they wave at the ship. And at that time, I already told the story before, our accommodations on the Dream were on deck 11, the bridge deck, and our almost suite had a big picture window, and I would stand in the window and wave at all the German people. I know it sounds stupid, but I'm telling you, the Kiel Canal is a cool trip. If you have a chance, talk to your travel planner and say, you know, we want to go to Europe again. We'd like to go through the Kiel Canal. And I tell you this because they had a story today that there'll be a total of 221 cruise calls to the Kiel Canal this year. Normally, you're in Warnemünde. You dock in Warnemünde. And from there, I think you dock there to go through the Kiel or to get to, I can't remember. It's a day trip to Berlin, whatever. But it's just a recommendation, that's all. The Kiel Canal, very cool. See, isn't it nice to hear something positive out of the guru for a chance? The Kiel Canal, very cool. The Norwegian Dream has flipped its funnel. I made fun of the Princess 360 dining experience when they announced it. On the new Princess ships, they are doing this unique dining experience. The advent of the LED wall has changed entertainment drastically in the cruise industry. You know, our ships are very small both the R ships and the O ships, but they all have LED walls, and the backdrops are amazing because these LED walls are amazing. But they're normally used in the theaters. They're not used in the dining rooms or dining experiences. But John Pageant, who's the president of Princess, who used to work for Disney, so Disney Imagineering, I think it's called, decided why not put an LED wall into a private banquet room and have this massive LED wall, and people will sit at like a table like the Last Supper, and they'll have food from all over the world, and while they're having the food, there'll be the pictures of where they would be, and even the smell, I understand, happens while you're doing it. Now I'm old school. I'm still like, enough with the gimmicks. I mean, you know, okay, this is great. It's for only suite members, suite people. If you have a suite, you could be invited to do this. Meanwhile, there's a guy in the dining room trying to get a steak cooked right. I'm old school. Let's get point A done before you get to point B. But in Travel Weekly, one of the writers in Travel Weekly, and it's the reason I have the story, actually, because I'm not slamming somebody. What fun is it on a Monday? The writer wrote, Princess 360 dining experience leaps off the plate. Okay, even I know at 6 o'clock in the morning, that's probably not the best headline you can ever write. But he loved it. He absolutely loved it. And according to John Pageant, the experience is a mix of master storytelling. Well, we've all had that in the food business. How many times you go to a new restaurant and you look at the menu and they're describing this dish that just jumps off the page. You can't wait to have it. And it's a pile of garbage. That's master storytelling. I'm not saying that about the food on Princess, by the way. It's also a world-class cuisine. Okay, they all say that. What class? What world? Visual entertainment and groundbreaking technology. And I know whenever I had when I want a nice bowl of French onion soup, if I can have it with some groundbreaking technology, how about I just want the cheese over the top where it melts down? It's beautiful, perfect, like the old school way. Anyway, I mention this because if you're a Princess cruiser, it looks pretty cool. And I mention it too because if you're normally in like a concierge level, maybe you want to talk to your travel planner and elevate yourself to a suite. So you can try it. He said it was really quite interesting. They serve the food and then pictures of where the food comes from. It's like a huge menu, I guess. You know, because how many restaurants, especially in Europe, they always put the picture of the dish, outside so you can see spaghetti bolognese looks like. I never understood the concept behind that because it never looks like the picture. You know, Slovakians, Greeks especially, Greeks, they're big on pictures. Can you cook it? No, but we took a nice picture of it. You should try it. And the beer is cheap. Princess 360 Dining Experience, the articles in Travel Weekly. Today is a recommendation Monday, meatloaf and recommendation. So if you have nothing to do, go to their website, Travel Weekly, and you can read the article because it made the guru kind of change his mind. I still think it's silly. I still think, but you know what? I don't know anything about anything anymore. What I think is silly is good to other people. I've mentioned this in the past. On Oceana, on Riviera Marina, there are cooking centers, culinary art centers, where world-class chefs, of course they are. We don't know what world. They're all great. They show people how to make their own food. You're on a cruise. Somebody will make it for you. But no, people want to learn to cook. And I made fun of it until I found out mostly men. The men are like, honey, I want to go and learn to make risotto. And the wife is going, okay. You know, I had something else in mind in the afternoon, but if you want to stir your pot, go ahead. Knock yourself out. All right. I talk a lot about Crystal Cruises, now called Crystal. And, of course, they're owned by Manfredi Lefebvre, who used to own Silver Sea, and Jeffrey Kent, who owns Abercrombie & Kent. In fact, Manfredi Lefebvre is a big partner with Jeffrey and A&K. They own both. And the Crystal ships now will exclusively use A&K for their tours. Bring your black American Express card, baby. But they are, and I mention this because I have friends that listen to this podcast. This would interest them. Freezing their ass off interests them. It really does. They have a Polar Expedition cruise coming up in 2024. They are chartering an icebreaker. Kind of important if you're going up there. I'm sorry. Just the words icebreak cruise. I'm a warm weather kind of guy, but it's really going to the North Pole right near where Santa's condo is. And the icebreaker is a French. Le Commandant Chocot. Charcot. Chocot. Anyway, the Chocot is sailing to the North Pole. And the reason I picked this article is just one sentence, pretty much. It says, describing the expedition, which is going to take off July 10th, 2024, and is taking guests to seek out the geographic North Pole. So I guess this is the real North Pole, not the North Pole they try to peddle to you. It's kind of the North Pole. It was just south of the North Pole. Where were you? I was in Miami. Anyway, after spending the night at the top of the world, the captain will find a location suitable for a gangway landing onto the ice's surface. I'm sorry. The captain will find a place suitable. You didn't send anybody out there to find something suitable? Even the people that work in the cruise industry aren't going to go there. They'll send their guests there, but they sure as hell aren't going to go there. So they don't know where they're going to go. They're going to, you know, I know what it's like. They're going to, okay, that looks safe enough. Huh? I don't think so. But anyway, if you're interested, check it with your travel planner. It is the ultimate frontier tour with Abercrombie and Kent aboard the icebreaker Le Commandant Charcot, or Charquet. I should probably take French lessons. The aviation industry, you know, this is called the Daily Cruise and Travel News podcast, and cruise is one thing, and travel is aviation. We don't do car rental stories, but sometimes. But anyway, according to Travel Weekly, December of 2022, there was a record number of complaints to the Department of Transportation about the airline industry. And a record number to the amount of over 16,000 complaints to the DOT about the airline industry. And 50% of those were about flights on Southwest. There are, you know, in the world we live in nowadays, especially with this current administration, this isn't politics, this is honesty. No one gets fired. No matter what goes wrong, nobody gets fired. It's just scary to me, you know, this current situation where a 21-year-old kid somehow got the most devastating classified secrets, and someone's got to get fired. I mean, the kid's going to go to jail, but the guy, his boss, got to get fired. His boss's boss got to get fired. Somebody's got to get fired, but nobody gets fired anymore. So the current president of Southwest, December was one of the worst day in Southwest history, and he's an IT guy and didn't see this coming, but he's still there. Nobody gets fired. But anyway, the DOT said they had a record number, but I don't get this. I just don't. I make this very clear, and people argue with me at my email address about this. I'm not going to bother the LensCrafter any further than I bothered. I went there and broke their chops. And I'm not going to send something to VisionWorks and tell them the manager should get off the ladder when he's open for business. It's not my business. It's not my job to run somebody's business. And if I got screwed by Southwest, the last person I would go to for any help would be the Department of Transportation. It's Pete Buttigieg and the rest of these federally bloated bureaucrats. Not going to happen. But 16,000, 17,000 people, God bless them. God bless them. They thought, let's go to the federal government for some help. Sure. Why don't you call me? I could give you that. You're better off with that local guy wherever you are in Indiana. I'm not saying it was people from Indiana, by the way. Calling News 8 in Indiana. Let him fight it out with it. It's not going to happen. You got hosed. And hopefully Southwest is going to treat you right because they would like you back as a business. And that ties in with another aviation story. Interesting article in Travel Weekly by a guy named Robert Silk. Bobby Silk. I know him. Hey, Bobby Silk. And I know his cousin, Petey Polyester. And then there's a Sandy Satin. We can come up with a million of these names. He wrote an interesting article in Travel Weekly. And the headline is interesting. How valuable is the bare bones model? I like the second line. The feds give mixed messages. That's every day of the life. They don't know what the hell they want to do. They really don't. They just green-lighted, I guess, big fuel. What's the word I want? I don't know, oil, gas pipeline or something. And that's upset the people that are progressive. This story is this. And again, I'm doing this. I haven't read it. So it's kind of the allure of this podcast is that sometimes it's very impromptu. Other word for that would be garbage. It seems that, I've talked about it in the past, the Department of Justice is suing to stop the merger of Spirit and JetBlue because they're afraid that JetBlue will suck up Spirit and the competitive low-cost airline will disappear into space. And so the point of this article, and it's a really good point, well, you can't have it both ways. Because now, on the other side of it, the Biden administration and other people, the FTC, I think it is, they're after the airlines for the add-ons, for the nickel and dimes, for all those fees. Well, those fees are the reason they're in business. Because if you're not smart enough to figure out their business model, which is very cheap seat, and then we charge you for everything else, which is, by the way, been the cruise industry for a long time in the Mega Mothers and the Sea Godzillas. It was always bare bones down here, and then you're going to pay for this, pay for food. You get free food, but then the really good food is going to cost you more. And that's what they do at Spirit. If you've never flown Spirit, well, then shame on you for not doing your due diligence. But bottom line is you get the cheapest seat known to man, $19 probably, to sit all the way in the back. But then you're going to pay for your carry-on and you're going to pay for your checked luggage. It is no secret. If you fly Southwest, you never hear this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a full flight. And since it's a full flight, we would ask, would anyone like to check their carry-on? Would you like to check your carry-on? Delta. Oh, my God. Always. Would you like to check your carry-on? It is a full flight. So in order to make it leave on time, it's our fault now. Check your carry-on. You never hear that on Southwest. You know why? Because the bags are free. They figured that out. The hell with it. The bags are free. But you know what happens now? You have people that always have two suitcases on Southwest. That's why you fly Southwest, right? Because they don't give you an assigned seat. That's annoying as hell. But I have a way around that. I go to the airport and I pay $40 to get all the way to the front of A. You can do it every time. One time I got knocked out. There wasn't seats. But normally I go there. I pay $40 extra per ticket, and we're at A7, A8, where we get on, we sit down, because they won't give you an assigned seat. But the baggage is free, so you never hear, check your carry-on. On the other airlines, because they're not enough overhead space, they build these planes without enough overhead space. They know that. They know there isn't space. So here's the point. On Spirit, they charge you for the carry-on. They charge you for every bag. They charge you for a better seat. They charge you to book a seat. Everything is extra. And that's what the federal government wants to get away from. Well, that's what their business model is. So you don't want JetBlue to suck up Spirit, but yet you don't want Spirit to operate the way they want. What's the point? The point is the federal government just likes to get involved in people's business. And they should stay the hell out of it. That's the point. Okay. Where are we at time, Wes? 19 minutes. All right. I got a few minutes here. I don't even know. This is the seventh time I've recorded this. the pressure now, that we're growing organically like mold, as I've said already, is so great that I want every podcast to be special. And when I first started this, I didn't care. Now, the pressure, every morning, the pressure, I feel the heaviness. I have a heaviness over my head to deliver an award-winning or soon-to-be award-winning podcast, and it's very annoying, very much like I am right now. I saw this article in Cruise Hive. Cruise Hive, I've mentioned this in the past, is one of those blog sites that they make their living with affiliate marketing, meaning the pages are full of ads for anything. Viagra for seniors, it's a much smaller pool, all kinds of things. And when you click on that ad, they get a couple of pennies. If you buy it, they get a couple of pennies more. And that's how they make a living. So the longer the article, the longer the story, the better they are, because they have to fill the pages. So they fill the pages. If you take all the affiliate marketing out of there, you got a four-page article. This gentleman wrote a 13-page article in Cruise Hive about the things that you shouldn't, that you can't bring onto a cruise ship. Now, many of them, I would assume you knew what you can't. You can't bring weapons on a cruise ship other than the wife's credit card. Sexist, but I don't care. You can't. But they list the things. You cannot bring guns, ammunition, martial art weapons, stun guns, knives, or switchblades. They're all prohibited, and they should be. But I didn't know about stun guns. But, you know, I mean, you're on a Royal Caribbean ship, you know, with 5,000 kids, and you're in the area, like a sanctuary, where it's supposed to be quiet, and somebody's got their kid in there. Hey, nobody's looking. Hey, one shot. You know. Small, low voltage kind of thing. Can't bring any of that on board. They'll be confiscated at the security checkpoint and then used that night in the crew bar. Yeah, it's stun gun night in the crew bar, guys. We picked up 10 of the gangway. I saw, you know, this isn't about weapons, but years ago I was on the Carnival Tropical sailing out of New Orleans in the early days of cruising. It's 30 years ago. And they didn't know there was food on board. They would be coming on with bags and bags of snacks and all kinds of stuff. They were trying to bring cases of beer on board, like they'd rented a house down in the bayou, you know, things like that. They weren't educated, but nowadays you should know. And you know, there is some value to shopping on the internet, and there is some value to booking it yourself, but not much. I don't get sponsored by Vacations to Go. I hope to, but Vacations to Go has amazing prices and amazing service. There's a gentleman named Milo. I don't book cruises, but my brother-in-law goes on cruises, and my neighbor Scott goes on cruises, and they use Milo at Vacations to Go. The guy's spectacular, and he's going to tell you that. Or you say to him, hey, can I bring my, you know, my wife's been acting up lately. Shut up, Tom. Some other items that you cannot bring on a ship: pepper spray, brass knuckles, nightsticks, even toy guns. You can't bring handcuffs either. Now, Virgin, they'll give them to you, but you can't bring handcuffs on board. Now, that's not every cruise line. So this is an interesting situation. You know, if you're dealing direct with the cruise line, good luck, because you're not going to get the right information. I don't care what cruise line it is. That's a blatant condemnation of all of them. But when you're talking to your travel planner, know the guy pretty well. You know, hey, Milo, not for nothing, but can I bring the handcuffs? You know, he goes, you go, boy. No, you can't do that. And you can't bring recreational drugs on board, and that's what, even if you're addicted to drugs, they're still recreational. You can't bring them on board. Oh, years ago in the beginning of this business, especially on Carnival, I didn't work for Carnival, but I had friends working for Carnival, and they knew in the entertainer's cabin, if they went into the cabin, got on a chair, and pushed up the ceiling, there would be bags of pot in there, because they all bought it in Jamaica, and then they realized, man, you can't bring this back in the United States. I'm going to get arrested. So you could, you know, it was like a hippie farm up there. It was just loaded with pot. It's important, too, if you have a valid prescription for medication, certain drugs may not be allowed on the ship. Marijuana, they, like many cruise lines, Carnival, again, this information has not been vetted. This was in Cruise Hive. He could be wrong. Do your own due diligence. But you cannot bring... on Royal Caribbean or Carnival, you cannot bring CBD oil or CBD products. You can't bring that on board. I would think if you have a doctor's prescription for that. But nowadays, there's so much fakery. There's so much forgery going on in the business. Who knows? This always drove me crazy. Some cruise lines don't have any place to do your laundry. Holland America did that years ago. They took out the laundromats because they wanted onboard revenue. They wanted you to send your clothes down to the laundry. And, you know, they really, that's a head up your butt thing. People enjoy doing their laundry, especially their intimates. I'm in charge of intimates when I get on board. Plus, sometimes you have to press something. And you're trying to find the whatever his name is this week, the cabin attendant, the housekeeper. You're trying to find him. So, can I get this pressed right away? No. Well, but I didn't realize it was a wrinkle. It's formal night. No. So they took it out. Stupid. If I was shopping for a cruise, honestly, the first question I would have for the travel planner, and I'm being nice saying that, is, do they have laundries? Or go on their website. If they don't have laundries, the hell with it. I'm not doing it. Because you cannot bring your iron on board. You can't bring in anything that could cause a fire on board. Because fire is the most dangerous part of cruising. Is not allowed. Obviously, candles. You can't bring your candles on. You can't burn incense. You can't have a seance. You can't cook. You can't kill a chicken in your room. No Santeria. The article's in Cruise Hive. I don't have time to go through it all. You can't bring coffee makers and hot plates. I pretty much knew that already. Liquor, you know, on Oceania, people are allowed to bring liquor on board. Wine and liquor. Yeah, because of the demographic. They're older, and they're not going to drink it in public. And I've said this before, and I'll repeat it for the first-time listeners to the organically mold most listened to cruise. The reason for the liquor thing, first and foremost, is safety. They cannot let you bring your liquor on these mega mothers because not only will they not buy liquor out in public, they're going to get hammered and you can't stop it. They have to control the liquor intake. That goes back to the sixth sensor, podcast on Friday or Saturday, the sensor that will detect when someone falls overboard. They don't even tell you why they fell overboard, but you can connect the dots and also the gin and the tequila. They got hammered. I mean, some of them have, you know, some of them saw the bar bill on the last night and decided to kill themselves rather than pay it. Oh, this is ridiculous. 26 minutes, way too long. Let me get out of here. Apologies. Hey, it was my seventh attempt. I hope you're still here at the end. It's funny. I get emails every day from people. Hey, we made it to the end. We don't know why. Have a good Monday. Boy, was it a Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Ah, shut up, duck.